This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
From North, South, East, and West, North America, Japan, and back again, this is your home for modern-day wrestling. With the occasional trip back in time, it's Place to Be Nation's main event. Now let's head into Studio B with your host, Scott Criscolo, and the godfather, Nate Milton.
We're trying this again. You'll never hear take one. History in the making. Welcome to your home for everything modern day wrestling, Place to Be Nation's main event, history, because we are live tonight for the first time ever, a live streaming podcast on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed. And it's fitting that we're doing a live podcast on one of the most bizarre bizarre WrestleMania seasons in history. And why not screw around with trying something new when our world right now is all new? And that brings me to one of my guests who's here, although he's a tri-host. Let's pray that this works. He's here. Well, let's just pray that the feed keeps going. The conscience of Place to Be Nation, Steve Willey. I don't know. Told me that I was doing something somewhere else. It's, I don't know, technical snafus. But we're here now. Let's hope we stick around.
And we even got a thumbs up. So we're live, friends.
We're live.
We're living in living color. We are doing it. I have supermarket sweep on. The world is good.
All right. We are good.
Do you feel Steve? It?
I do. I feel it. The gleam. Getting a bunch of people are hearing us. Thank you, guys. Gang. For tuning in. Let's pray that this holds for a while. So Steve Willey, I'm glad you're healthy. You're doing well. You don't have to go through the whole spiel you did on take one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing you're good. Well. You're good. Family's well. Good. Free margaritas. Heidi, heidi, ho.
Yeah, take out margaritas. Not even free.
So, yeah, I know.
We had to pay for them. It was like drive-through.
Danny just quoted. Danny just took my Marty Schottenheimer. There's a gleam, men. Let's get the gleam. Poor Marty Schottenheimer. Did he coach your team, Steve? I don't think. No, he never coached the Bears.
No, he never.
I don't think he ever coached in the NFC. No, he did. He coached Washington. Actually,
they don't have a coach right now. So, I mean, a real one.
Living in Chalupa Pita. Damn straight, baby. Damn straight.
And you can take out your triple chalupa. Right now at Taco Bell.
Exactly. Triple Lupa, baby. The Triple Lupa Pita. Yeah. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. Ron Rivera is Washington's coach. Yes, he's his coach now, Danny. But I was saying that at some point in the past, Marty Schottenheimer was the Redskins coach. I'm just because I was trying to think of any NFC teams that he ever coached. And he did, the Redskins. But mostly, he coached the Chargers, Cleveland, Kansas City, all great teams that all fell short. Anyway, while we're waiting for the Godfather, Nate Milton, does he even know what he's doing? What's going on? Who knows? He's somewhere. Nate will join us at some point. It is indeed, Steve Willey, one of the most bizarre, probably the most bizarre season in history. Who's Prince Devitt? Is that him?
I sure hope that it's Chad Campbell.
I'm going to find out right now. Should we just do it? Why the hell not? Let's see who it is. Let's see who it is. Welcome to the main event. Is this Nate Milton?
Hello.
That's a great impersonation, you. Ladies
what's
and gentlemen, Chad Campbell, everybody.
Chad, what's going on?
One half of the North-South podcast connection. Oh, welcome, Chad. It's good to have you, man.
I had to create a new screen name, and this felt this felt fitting.
Well, thank you for hopping on with us for the for a little bit while we're waiting for Nate to somehow climb out of the weeds. The most southern Nate ever. Chad will tell the Ryan's Steakhouse story. Oh, okay. Chad, before we go any further, what is the Ryan, according to PTB and Comics, we think we know who that is, what is the Ryan's Steakhouse story? Or are you not allowed to tell? Is this one of those? Is this a Patreon story?
Yeah, I don't think that's for main event public consumption.
That's for the main event After Dark.
Yeah, exactly.
After Dark, correct.
All right. Well, everybody, Chad is awesome. He's obviously an alumni here of Place to Be of the main event. And before we chat WrestleMania, Chad, let's talk a little bit about the big project we're doing at PlaceToBeNation.com as well as on the Facebook page, because you're like our podfather for this one. And that is our fourth stretch project, the greatest WCW match of all time. And I feel like, guys, that of all the long form projects we've done, we did greatest WWE wrestler, and that ended up being Randy Savage. The greatest WWE tag team of all time, which, correct me if I'm wrong, Chad, I think it was it the Rockers or the Hart Foundation? Or the Hardys?
It was the Hardys. Yeah, Hardys.
Hardy, that's right. Yep. Hardys. Yep, I had the Hart Foundation. And then the greatest WWE match of all time, which was...
Are you going to spoil it?
The WWE? We haven't done it yet. Oh, my God. That's right. We haven't even done it yet. The greatest WWE match of all time, which we don't even know yet. That's, of course, that's being released. I don't even know who it is, to be honest with me. I'm out of the loop on that. That is, of course, being released as we speak on PlaceToBeNation.com. We're rolling that out little by little. Oh, guess who's here? We found him. There he is.
Uh-oh.
This wasn't a Patreon show, Nate, so you weren't getting paid ahead of time.
Hey, it's, if it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense, Scotty.
That's right, brother. Nate Milton, everybody. The Godfather. We're all here. And Chad Campbell's with us, Nate. We're talking a little little GWCW. So the gang's all here, everybody. And thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll dive into some WrestleMania and some questions and such in a little bit. But we were talking, Nate, about our stretch project going on right now. The greatest WCW match of all time. You need to dive into this. I know you've been a little hesitant about ballots in the past, sir, but I think you need to dive into this one.
I think so. With the amount of content, the amount of classic matches over the years, like this is something that I can sink my teeth into. Not to disparage, you know, the great and powerful Vince McMahon. Pay no attention to that other man behind the curtain, but WCW is bread and butter. WCW is mother's milk. Scott Criscola. So I would definitely be a part of this.
Yes, yes. Now, Chad, you've already dived in. I mean, we're what, 2.5 months into the year, and you've dived in pretty deep.
Yeah.
And you've given me the privilege to see some of your research, and I am very appreciative of that. And I hope you and I hopefully will work together throughout the year, both here at the Place Me Nation and on the North South Podcast Connection. What specific guy has stood out to you as a guy that's besides Flair? Let's take Flair out of the equation because he'll be a shit ton. What guy has stood out for you as a guy that you're like, holy shit, this guy could be in like 15, 16 matches maybe? Like, who's sticking out for you early?
So I've got three that I want to talk to. I've got three.
Right. Go ahead.
I have three that have been working for me. One is two are kind of names you might. One's Ricky Steamboat.
I think. Oh yeah, of course.
I mean that goes hand in hand with Flair, but all of his early stuff has been great, and all of his later stuff, like in 92, 93, 94, has also been excellent. The second guy I'd say is Stunning Steve Austin. Oh, I've been real impressed by watching him. I think he, I mean, they, it's just amazing. In late 93 and throughout much of 1993, he has a long series with Dustin Rhodes. And even on commentary, Tony's presenting this as like, oh, this is going to be the feud to carry WCW throughout the 90s. And, you know, they're gone like 16 months later, both of them. So it's just a shame.
I know it is.
For that. And then a guy that you may not think about, certainly not in the confines of NWA and WCW until way later on into their run, but don't sleep on 1981, 1982, 1983 Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. Had the great series with Valentine as a face. The stuff I've seen in 82, like the he has a studio match with Jack Briscoe.
Love that match.
And, that was
I love that match.
So well done between the promos and just the way they worked that match. So he's somebody that I've gained a great appreciation seeing him outside. Because, you know, he's really someone I just saw as a WWF, WWE guy. And then actually Portland, kind of number two. But seeing him in this confines, I think, really helps pad his career case overall.
Mm. What do you think of those three picks, Nate?
I think those are all three solid picks. Obviously, Steamboat is going to be somebody who is in that upper echelon of WCW along with Flair. I think, you know, guys like a Sting, guys like a Muda, you'll see their names sprinkled about. I really like the Austin pick, though, because I think people kind of forget about that period of Steve Austin's career. And yeah, him and Pillman were doing some amazing things as a team. And then Steve as a solo act, and Brian Pillman is another guy that I think will sneak up on some people, particularly if you look at some of the early stuff, the early Flying Brian, when he was coming out to Rocket with the little Cincinnati Bengals tights on. Think like early Pillman is amazing. I think another guy that might kind of slip under that radar, and he to me, he kind of fits in that same category as a Steve Austin is Dustin Rhodes.
Yep.
As the natural.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree 100% on those. Chad, you hit the nail on the head with that. If you guys haven't seen it, it's somewhere in the, somewhere in 82. I've been watching all the Mid-Atlantics. Chad, I just can't think of the date. Somewhere in the summer, I think, of 82. But this studio match between Piper and Jack Briscoe is killer. And this is before, obviously, the Briscoes turn heel. That's in early 83. That's an amazing match to talk about. Thank you, Chad, for hopping on. We appreciate that very much. So everybody, Chad Campbell, you can check him out over on the North South Podcast Connection with my PIC, Mr. Azzaro. They got a ton of great stuff over there. It's where you'll hear No Holds Barred, the Monday Night War Podcast, and Jeff Learns Wrestling, and all sorts of great stuff over there. They've been doing some pod blasts about Curb Your Enthusiasm, so good stuff going on over there. But we'll talk a lot about the WCW stuff throughout the year as well, and I'm stoked because I think the easy thing about it, guys. And we've talked about it here on the show, and I've talked about it with Chad and even with JR. At least here you have a small template, because pretty much it's like 1981 to 2001. So we're only talking about 20 years worth of matches. So I think it's easy for people to wrap their head around. You know what I mean? Steve, what do you think of those three picks Chad was talking about?
I like them because for Piper, there's not much that has been easily available during that time frame. And at least readily available, you'd have to go out of your way to look for it. So that's kind of the nice thing about a project like this is, you know, one or two people can find the matches, share them with everybody, and then we can all enjoy them. I like the Austin. I like your Pullman. I like your Dustin Rhodes pick because those are very, like, that real popular time of 92, 93, and 94 before Hogan came in is really enjoyable. And there's a lot of hidden gems in there because I think people forget sometimes because of the network. We only think about Saturday night or, you know, the main event, no pun intended, but there are so many syndicated shows from that time period that you can find stuff on. I remember at least two or three that were syndicated at that time. So that's where if we're able to pool our resources together, I can't even imagine how many Steve Regal television championships out. He was on like every show doing like 10-minute draws, 15-minute draws.
The great
series he had with Flair on something like worldwide in a Universal studio somewhere. So there's so many great options.
Like one of our beautiful guys, Bobby Eaton, is another guy that I think fits in that category.
Yep. Our good friend Ben from over on the pond, 94 WCW is like chicken soup for the soul. I agree with that, actually. Two guys that I'm going to be interested in as I keep watching matches. One of them, and I'm not saying this because my boy's with me tonight, because you know I love you, Nate, regardless. But Sting is a guy. Sting is one of those guys, Nate, that fits well with the guy he's with. He's not a terrible worker, Nate. We know that. But sometimes Sting fits with a good dance partner, and some dance partners aren't great, and some are really great. So I'm looking forward to watching a lot of Sting because it all depends on who he's got. One guy I'm pumped to watch because I think I'll probably have at least five or six of his matches is Vader. I'm going to have a ton of Big Van Vader because anything from 92 to 95 is pretty badass, except when he was just endlessly jobbing to Hogan, but in 95 was garbage. So anyway, check out, hop in, go to the Facebook page, the Greatest WCW Match Ever Project. We're going same thing as we did for the past 3 years. We're going all year long. You've got 10 and a half months, and for the next couple of months, you got more than enough time to watch stuff. So watch plenty of matches and enjoy, hopefully New Year's Eve into 2021, you'll have a nice tidy 100 match ballot. I don't know how the hell I'm going to get 100 matches. I barely thought I was going to get 100 WWE matches, and I just squeezed in enough. So check that out. That's one of the big projects we're doing over at PlaceMeNation.com and on the Facebook page. All right, guys, why don't we talk about the main reason that we're firing up the sound waves this evening? This is easily one of the most bizarre, if not the most bizarre, WrestleMania season in history. It's one of the most bizarre times in our world history. I mean, obviously, we've had our relatives, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, great aunts, great uncles during World War II and things like that, where stuff was shut down. We didn't have baseball seasons and things like that. And really, the only time we ever lost any sports seasons was for human purposes, like the strike and, 94, and we lost an entire NHL season. But that was all labor strife and a lot of mumbo jumbo bullshit. But this is outrageous. This is outrageous. I mean, literally, guys, as we're recording, night two of WrestleMania is probably going on right now. While we're talking, night two of WrestleMania, which will air on the network Sunday night, April 5th, is probably happening right now as we speak, which is outrageous to think about. Outrageous.
Everyone hold a match in the air to imitate the fireworks.
Yes, yeah. Streamers and everything. We'll talk about the other companies. Let's talk about the other companies first before we dive into WWE, because the other promotions are being affected in their own special ways. Our man PTBN Comics is saying they could be filming the Boneyard match right now. They probably are in the field behind the Performance Center, rolling around in the weeds. So let's talk about the other five of our six pack of promotions and see how they've been affected. Why don't we start with New Japan, because they were affected first, because they were obviously in that part of the world. They haven't been live in weeks, Steve, right?
Yeah, they canceled the New Japan Cup. It sounded as if they were going to start back up again. They had canceled Sakura Genesis. There have been a couple of shows that have come out of Japan. The Dragon Gate recent show that's on YouTube right now. You can watch it for free with English commentary. Stardom also had their first round of their Cinderella tournament. Also, you can watch on free on YouTube. But then over the last day, really, the last 24 hours, they're starting to see a secondary spike. And it looks like there's going to have to be shows canceled even more so over the next couple weeks in Japan. It looks like Tokyo's numbers are starting to go up. So it looked like we were coming to the end over there and that there would be some shows with at least empty arenas, possibly starting to let some fans in. I think All Japan had a show with fans.
Yeah, but, Chad just said Tokyo's out till April 9th.
Yeah.
So that's what, two weeks from today. That's 2 weeks from today. So he says Champions Carnival is delayed. So
and action figures don't come out until June, so I can't do my Prince Devitt Tanahashi remake in my basement.
So New Japan's slowly getting back. Now they're in a spot now where they're kind of in a, you know, they're in a little lull in terms of big shows, right? The next big show is what, Dominion, and that's not till mid to late June, so they don't worry about that. They could find a way to kind of rebound and get themselves back on track there. Impact is just kind of going with the flow. I mean, Nate, I don't know when their next big show is supposed to be. Sometime in the next month?
Yeah, I think their next big show got canceled. I think it was Rebellion or some other evocative name that Impact has come up with. Like, full disclosure, people, like, I've really been off of the Impact map for the last 2-3 weeks. I think in these troubled times, in these hard times that Dustin Rhodes would say, we've had to reprioritize things in our life. And Impact, unfortunately, as much as I respect the performers, Impact has kind of shuffled down the cards because COVID-19 put hard times on Nate Milton. You understand what I'm saying, Scott Criscola?
Oh, I do, brother Nate. You bet it. Podbean took your job.
they give you a filtered mask. They tell you to stay 6 feet apart, and they tell your computer took your job, Daddy.
Speaking of hard times, let's talk about the National Wrestling Alliance.
Yes.
They took a big hit. No powers for the next couple of for the next future. So as you guys have noticed on the feed, myself and the good doctor have not been able to do our power recaps. However, and of course they've suspended the Crockett Cup, which was supposed to be April 19th, and that really sucks because they were all in on that show. I was so pumped for Aldis and Marty. I was really pumped for that match, big time. What they are doing though, which is kind of cool, is at 6:05 on Tuesdays, they are putting up old, like not old, but recent NWA led pay-per-views. Mm. So last Tuesday they did the 70th anniversary show from October of 18 when Aldis won the belt back from Cody. And now of course he's been world champ ever since. And then this past Tuesday, 2 days ago, they dropped what they called the pop-up event, which was something they did in, I think it was like late January of 19. It's got a hair versus hair match between David Arquette and Josephus. So that alone I'm kind of pumped for. And so they're trying to fill the gaps with stuff as best as they can. Obviously, you know, they're limited fiscally, so they can't, you know, throw stuff around, and they don't have their own performance center. I'm sure they got to pay that building rent. So that's a struggle. As a matter of fact, NWA shop, the shop on the website, is selling t-shirts and tank tops, and all the proceeds are going to the staff and the talent to kind of get them through this, because they're obviously, we're not talking guaranteed contracts. This isn't fucking Bischoff in 1998. So, you know, they got to work. They got to work to get to the pay window. So think about going to nationalwrestlingalliance.com and go to the shop. The shirts are pretty cool. What do you think, Steve? They could rebound from this, right?
I think that they have enough. Well, it depends how much Billy Corgan's got putting around in his pockets. They didn't really have much money coming in except on, you know, YouTube watches and YouTube ads. So a lot of these, you know, it's not just NWA. There's a lot of other companies who are in danger of going under, especially with the loss of WrestleMania weekend. So it's scary times if you're not a AEW or a Sinclair-based Ring of Honor, obviously WWE. You know, it's scary times for a lot of the independent promotions.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned. I mean, I think they'll be fine. What do you think, Nate, for NWA?
Yeah, I think most of these promotions should be fine. They should weather the storm because most fans, the overwhelming majority of fans, realize that this is a situation that was out of their control, and only the most irrational fan would hold it against any of these companies. I think this break, this forced break, probably benefits companies like WWE or even like an Impact that have a large back catalog to pick from, whereas a company like AEW or the NWA, they're going to have to get a little bit more creative because the library just isn't there. So I think that, you know, Billy Corgan's a smart guy. You know, we know Scotty. He used to be a little boy, so old in his shoes. What he chooses is his choice. What is a boy supposed to do? I think Billy Corgan is going to find a way to disarm the potency of the coronavirus and find a way to give the fans what they're looking for. And yeah, like Steve Willie was just saying, man, like there is so much that these companies and some of these independent promotions and a place like High Spots are doing right now to be able to put out more content for people that are kind of stuck at home. So, you know, if the appetite is there, I think they'll be fine. And I do think that the appetite will probably grow over the next couple of months, because as Steve mentioned, like this is not over by a long shot over in Asia, and they're kind of the canary in the coal mine. So what happens over there, we can expect to kind of mirror that, if not exactly, at least in some way, shape or form over here. So yeah, like we could be stuck with this through the summer. So we just have to kind of wait and see, but I think NWA should be fine.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Impact will do fine. And I think New Japan will do fine. What about Ring of Honor? I mean, they're already hanging by a thread. I mean, you know what? I'm going to say this about
Who?
Yeah. Well, listen to this, guys. What do you think of this? And I think all four of the main ones should do this. I was talking about this with the doctor a little bit earlier tonight. WWE Network, Impact Plus, Honor Club, and New Japan World. All four major wrestling streaming services should do a free access trial for 60 days. All of them. 60 days free. Sign up free. I was going to say, I said 90 at first, but Dr. G thought that was a little much. But you never know. But 60 days. And you should be able to watch their content for free for 60 days. And then decide, and then maybe have a discounted rate to start or something. I think these companies need to keep their fans interested and looking. I mean, WWE's kind of doing that now with limited content.
Yeah.
But I think, like, Honor Club in particular, I mean, they could use it like a hole in the head. I mean, really, they need anything, Steve. They need to make little Steve Willie happy again. You know,
they're doing better when they get me back. They've said for about 4 or 5 months now that they're finally going to upload the few years of their past shows that haven't been up there for, I don't know if it was copyright or who owned the tapes or whatnot. And they keep saying, coming soon, coming soon. They have been putting out more individual matches on YouTube, which I think that a lot of companies are doing. Want to give a quick shout out to AEW out of Chicago, who have had a lot of NXT and main roster WWE guys going through the past. They've been uploading a show once a week, trying to get people to sign up for High Spots or their own streaming service. So I do, and, you know, WWE, I mean, Nate Milton's basically got 4 years for free because Brother Nate 1 at Gmail, Brother Nate 2 at Gmail.
Brother
Nate loves Tachi.
Brother Nate 3, Nathaniel, Joseph Nathanis.
Hey, I've been a loyal supporter of them for 4 years, Steve Willie. Never has my support wavered. I just have to change my name every 30 days.
Yeah, I've never – Witness Protection Program. I mean, that has nothing to do with anything.
But I think that's a good opportunity. WWE maybe – I think WWE just needs to WWE needs to do it to kind of bring back some good faith, because the whole WrestleMania thing – was a fucking nightmare. And for people like, I mean, I'm already depressed as it is that next weekend I'm going to be home, but, and most of us are going to be home, but, you know, a lot of people were banking on this Tampa trip personally. And you know, I think WWE needs to, kind of get some goodwill back, because they dicked us around forever, until finally last Friday, they realized, you know, this isn't flying, insurance or no insurance, get over it. So, I think they need to do it. Impact Plus, and Honor Club and New Japan. I think this is just a good opportunity to get more eyeballs on them, particularly New Japan. I got to be honest. Honestly, I love my Impact.
I'd say Impact Plus, ROH, and New Japan probably need to do it from the standpoint of widening their audience more so than WWE, because WWE can throw stuff up on ESPN. WWE can throw stuff up on Fox, and if not satisfy, at least kind of satiate the audience. Whereas Impact, I think if Impact doesn't do anything over the next 2-3 months to at least keep that small, vocal, vital fan base going and maybe pull in 1 or 2 more people, like, they're going to be an afterthought after this is all done. Same with, like, even more so for ROH, because I can't tell you the last time I heard somebody speak positively about Ring of Honor. So I think the smaller companies probably need to do it even more than the flamethrower, if you will, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing too. They need to kind of get that going and keep us all engaged, because we're all locked like animals right now, and we need to get ourselves satiated.
Despite all our collective rage, Scotty, we are still just some rats in a cage.
Maybe he should sell that as a pay-per-view song. maybe he should add a little extra royalties to that. The problem is he can't. You know, he's using other songs. Like, unfortunately, William cannot use any great songs. Like, Steve, would you buy a pay-per-view called Cherub Rock? I don't know. Great song. But or a pay-per-view called Siamese Dream? I don't know.
Mm.
I like Bullet with Butterfly Wings. That's kind of, that could be something pretty cool. But anyway.
I buy a pay-per-view that has really good wrestling on it. you can call it Emptiness with Loneliness, and I'll buy it if it's
Emptiness with Loneliness. Let's see. PTBN Comics says, does Impact even have access to their own back catalog? I know that's a fabulously stupid question, but but it is Impact. Well, PTBN Comics, I have Impact Plus, and they have everything on there. Obviously, that's where the three of us watch our bi-monthly TNA pay-per-view smorgasbord of racism, homophobia, and other sordid nonsense, which we'll be back in two two episodes, because in 2 weeks we'll do our pay-per-view recap of the WrestleMania recap. So not the next episode, the episode after that, we'll go back to the TNA pay-per-view recaps. Who knows, guys? Maybe the next time we do this, maybe we'll do the pay-per-view recap live.
Ooh.
Oh, that'll really bring in the listener, Steve. Vince Russo promos. That'll really bring in the cleanliness of cleanliness.
I never thought I'd see the day where an Impact Wrestling pay-per-view from the Asylum would outsell WrestleMania. This is crazy times we're living in, people.
It is. It really is, huh? And as a matter of fact, guys, that NWA 70th anniversary show that's on their YouTube page right now from October of 2018 was at the fairgrounds. So how about that? Huh?
Yep.
How about that for serendipitous? So that's what the other promotions are hopefully will be doing over the next 3 or 4 months, because they've got to really kind of get themselves really get the crowd together and get fans back and keep us, you know, motivated when things get back to normal. Because, I mean, I'm thinking now, I don't know what the next pay-per-view NWA had planned after the Crockett Cup. Crockett Cup, as I had said many times here, was originally slated for April 19th. That, of course, is not happening. I mean, they could move it to June, but I wonder if they had a pay-per-view already slated for June. But I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
We were joking about Smashing Pumpkins songs as their themes, but, I mean, didn't they do Into the Fire? I think they're going for all Sarah McLachlan songs.
you think there'll be a female wrestler named Adia?
Yeah, there'll be Adia. There will be NWA Possession. NWA Surfacing.
I will remember you. Maybe they'll bring in Foley and they could do the I Will Remember You. So in the arms of an angel. Let's see. Oh, I just got some news here, guys. Let's see. Our good friend Lewis just brings news that Roman Reigns is out for WrestleMania. Wow. Did something happen tonight? Did something happen last night? As everyone knows, Reigns was slated to face and probably beat Goldberg for the Universal Championship. I was assuming that match is probably going to be Sunday.
Oh, man, I'm seeing the reason why, too. This isn't good.
Is something popping up? Let's see. He used
elevated liver enzymes.
Oh, Reigns, not good. Wow.
That went right over Scott's head.
Okay. No, I actually thought somebody typed it. Wait a minute. You mean they were supposed to wrestle in a Punjabi prison match, too? So we'll get some update on that. But apparently, according to Goldberg, longest Universal Champion ever. Yeah, well. So anyway. All right. So WrestleMania weekend completely blew up. The Hall of Fame class, which let's take a look. Let me bring up the Chromebook here. And let's officially.
While Scott's looking, I just want to update that Sandra has advanced to the bonus round on card sharks.
ten of spades? The ten of spades got over, huh?
Yeah, it's the Bob Eubanks version for those wondering.
Oh, see, I like the other guy. Bob Eubanks was good on Newlywed Game. Wink Martindale on Tic-Tac-Doe. There's two Joker's Wilds. I like the 70s and 80s version. But then, of course, Nate, we can't forget Dogs.
Yes.
Loaded with whiskey and weed, W&W. So WWE Hall of Fame 2020. So the induction ceremony is in limbo. It was slated for next Thursday, 1 week from tonight. At Amalie Arena in Tampa. I was not going to be there. I would have been on a plane right now with my PIC flying into Tampa. I know a few people that were slated to go. The classes right now, Batista, JBL, British Bulldog, Jushin Thunder Liger, who called that baby? This guy right here. The New World Order, the NWO, and the Bellas. Overall thoughts on that class, Steve?
I think it's pretty good. It's got a decent mixture. I'm glad to see that they're acknowledging Liger, who there pretty much would be no Cruiserweight or 205 Live, without him. Bulldog, it feels like that should have happened a long time ago.
Yep.
JBL, I get it. Like, I'm not a big fan, but I get it. At this point, I feel like they're going to run out of people to put in, though. I know that's not like some sort of like hot take by any means. We say it each year, but who hasn't gone in? We're seeing how many people go in for multiple times at this point. Glad that X-Pac gets to go in, or Sean Waltman, or Six Pac, whatever we want to. What are we calling him in TNA?
Who is he in TNA?
Sex Pack? Oh wait, no, sorry. Sorry, that was his non-kayfabe name. That was his shoot name backstage. Sex Pack.
April.
I don't know. I don't know what his name was. I think it was just Six. It wasn't X Pack. Yeah. Was it just Six Pack? Or was it just Sean? Was it Sean Waltman?
No, it was some form of it. This is what we want. This is what the listeners want.
Exactly. Come on,
guys. Had to be Six, because they wouldn't have had access to X-Pac.
One night in China, Pac. I'm talking about passing around the fire. Just read about Roman. Good for him making that show. All right. So it sounds like what they're saying is, obviously, Roman Reigns is a two-time leukemia survivor, if you will, and they don't want to take a chance on his immune system being compromised.
Yeah.
Now, why we're just hearing about that tonight and not like 2 weeks ago after they did the fucking contract signing and all this other nonsense, you're telling me that they couldn't think of that before now? That's strange. I don't get that at all.
It's because now there's no people. Like before, you had paying customers, Scotty.
That is true. It was the pay window's got the plank of wood over it. So
exactly.
The plank of wood's over the pay window. So
and I can't blame him. If I'm Roman, I'm like, I'm not doing this for for your little empty arena WrestleMania. I'm gonna wait till we actually have fans.
So, all right. So good call on the Hall of Fame class. And there's rumors that they will have it SummerSlam weekend up in Boston. So we'll see if that actually happens. NXT TakeOver Tampa, which was slated for Friday night, which I was going to be at, is now going to be next Wednesday, starting next Wednesday. Let's see. The event was originally March 20th. The announced canceled matches scheduled for the reschedule take place across multiple episodes of NXT starting April 1st. So right now, the only technical match that is up right now is a 6-woman ladder match to determine the number one contender for the women's championship, which of course was going to be decided at WrestleMania between the champion Rhea Ripley and of course Delicious Charlotte. Here's your competitors. It is, by the way, the TakeOver Tampa Bay logo was fucking gorgeous. Chelsea Green, Mia Yim, your girl, Tegan Nox, Io Shirai, Candice LeRae, and TBD.
Mm.
Something tells me the TBD is Bianca.
Yeah.
Or with Bianca and something else. Like, why would Bianca not be in this match?
Yeah. Makes no sense.
Yeah, now last night on NXT, they announced a second chance gauntlet match. So I think that's where that slot's coming from. So the question is, guys, who cares where Candice LeRae is? She ain't winning shit. the question is, where is Bianca going? If that sixth slot in this match is going to be for this gauntlet match that they're having, then where's Bianca Belair fitting, Nate?
She's got to be in the gauntlet match. Prior to this, like maybe 3 weeks ago, I thought they might have tried to shoehorn her into Charlotte and Rhea, much like they did Charlotte with Becky and Ronda. But given the fact that we're now in an era where the WWE has turned into PWG and we'll have Gabe Sapolsky announcing both nights, where WrestleMania night two. I think that like it just makes sense to put her in that gauntlet match, and then that way you can have her face whoever comes out the champion between Rhea and Charlotte.
What do you think, Steve?
I'm just thinking about what would be more fun than a ladder match. Is just like hide the belt under one of the empty seats, and then just have all six of them try to tackle each other and find where it's
at. Like musical chairs.
Have a scavenger hunt around the arena led by Triple H.
Yes.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Where would I be if I were a gorilla without a banana? And everybody just runs the gorilla position and you're getting warmer.
It's like that episode of Raw with the musical chairs where Flair kept kicking all the Divas chairs off from under them.
That's what it should be. No wrestling matches. Let's limit physical contact. Just a night. Two nights of fun and games. WWE presents game night.
Trivial Pursuit, but everybody's like in separate sections of the building.
Put set up the elimination chamber and have them play heads up, seven up.
Oh, man, that's funny. That would be hilarious. Of course, the rest of the card, we don't know what the hell the deal was. I mean, we're assuming, guys, that Alex Cole. Alex Cole. Didn't he play for the Braves?
Yeah, I was going to say it's on the Blue Jays, too.
Adam Cole, Bay, was going to continue his longest NXT champion run against probably the Dream, I would think. Like, we don't even know what the hell the deal was going to be, right? And then, of course, there was a triple threat. For the North American belt, our man, Keith Lee, and Dijakovic and Damian Priest in a triple threat for the North American Championship. I'm pretty sure that was a match slated for the card. And I'm assuming some type of tag. By the way, did you guys watch NXT last night? Did anybody see that tag team that beat the shit out of Matt Riddle? Anybody see that? Anybody,
no,
guys, just in the chat here in our live WrestleMania chat? All you awesome. Fans joining us tonight. Thank you very much. You're all fantastic. Anybody see it? It really looks like Umaga and Bruiser Brody had kids. That's seriously what it looked like. It was crazy. I was watching Brody Lee eating steak.
Maybe laugh. I know it was Malcolm Bivens' team, the former big Stokely Hathaway, my guy.
Yes. So
pretty excited that he, who has been signed for a very long time, is getting a shot in front of the big crowd at the PC.
Big crowd. Woohoo! Triple H.
That's gotta be a bittersweet pill to swallow there, Steve Willie. Like, yeah, you're gonna be on NXT, you're gonna be a part of the show. Oh, there's no crowd. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Shit.
You know what that is.
Oh God. I was watching Sammy Cheek Leakage. Oh, geez, that is funny. Hey, Brad, our good friend Brad. We miss Brad. Brad just sent all of us a – let's see. There's a tweet here. Let's see. Pro Wrestling Sheet has learned – okay, well, it's just a tweet that he will not be part of the Universal Championship. Somebody in our chat here said that they should make the they should add Goldberg to the Bray Cena match and make that a triple threat for the Universal Championship and just have Goldberg keep it.
Mm.
Like, I think Reigns needs to get it off him. Not, don't beat Cena. Don't beat Bray. Have the Fiend and Cena and Goldberg have a crazy match. Have Cena retain. Have Goldberg retain. And then whenever the hell we're back to normalcy, Roman could beat him then. Because honestly, all I was expecting from that match was a Superman punch, a spear, and a win. I think that's what Goldberg was ready to do for Roman in that match. I think we were going to get literally like Goldberg and Brock had at that Survivor Series. That's what I was thinking. Nate, what do you think?
Yeah, it would have been very short, but I think pretty sweet. Like, I think Goldberg spears Roman. Roman kicks out, and then Roman spears Goldberg. Goldberg kicks out, and then we get a little tussling, a little clubbering, and then a Superman punch, and let's go home, boys.
Yeah, that's what I think. What do you think, Steve?
I think that sounds like my experience homeschooling today.
Oh. It's going to be all right, Steve Willie. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be under 10 minutes for sure. It's the, you know, soup du jour of big time Mania main events with like a Lesnar or a Goldberg. You got to limit what you do and kick out of lots of finishers and
yep.
Someone's going to win. But now
somebody in our chat here said Sean Flaherty 5 said that, hey Sean, I haven't talked to you in a while, how you doing? He says that they should just wait till SummerSlam, so have Goldberg hold the Universal belt until Boston and just have Roman take it there. Probably a smart thing. Should just do it there. I think that's not a bad idea. I don't think that's a bad idea at all. So the other thing that came out of TakeOver on NXT this past week was Triple H had forced a face to face with Ciampa and Johnny Wrestling, and they decided that they were going to wrestle in 2 weeks' time, so not this Wednesday and not this weekend, but next. A week from Wednesday, April 8th, on NXT. Empty building, empty anything with a ring, and Triple H says it will end. Now, I put two of their matches on my top 100 WWE matches of all time. I mean, what is left for them to do at this point, Steve?
I don't know. I want to say that I do like the fact that they're spreading this out, which is what I think they should have done with Mania. What I've been saying all along is just like, hey, postpone it and then slowly deliver some of these undercard matches and building up something else.
Mm.
So, you know, I can respect the fact that like, hey, put a couple matches this week, put a couple matches the next week. It's more likely for people to turn in because you're going to lose the atmosphere just throwing all the matches in front of an empty stadium. And they're already showing how much their ratings have gone down with this over the last couple of weeks. So what is there left to do between Ciampa and Gargano? I have no idea. There's not too much of a story left at this place. But on the flip side of that, like, hey, if you're just throwing out matches at this point, you're guaranteed a good match. So why waste big time stories for an empty arena?
Like, I know, right? Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting scenario that they can come up with. And I mean, I think that there is a moment where these two are going to have to split up from each other and figure out what to do with both of them at this point. She's knocking on the door. Might as well let her in. This was issue, Nate. Hope she brought some cake. ladies and gentlemen, let's see if she brought any cake. Did you bring any cake?
Are you going to stop rambling and answer the fucking phone?
Oh, it's a lady. Hey, sweet thing, can I buy you a fish sandwich?
Well, if you didn't bring any cake, then no. How's that sound? Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of the Jenny position, Miss Jennifer Smith. How are you?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
Good, good. We were talking about Ciampa, your guy Ciampa and Johnny Wrestling. What are your thoughts on what they will do from here? I guess she didn't want to answer the question. Oh, well.
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, she vanished. Oh, well, you vanished out of the little thing. Wow, now she's invisible. I don't know. You vanished out of the thing. So what do you think? All right, so Ciampa and Johnny are going to do this in 2 weeks, kind of separate from everything else. What do you think they're going to do from there?
From there? Oh, God. Well, I'm all in on Johnny. And, you know, Steve talking about, I don't know if they have anything left, but they're made to wrestle each other. And there's always something there. They have so much history and so much chemistry that they can make something happen. Mm. That's what I believe.
I think so too. I just don't know if they're going to have any, if they'll have anything out of this. If this is the end, if one of them's moving up, if this is it for both of them, maybe Johnny's retiring. Maybe Ciampa's finally going up to the main roster. That remains to be seen.
Now, I don't feel like this is the way that they want to go out on their NXT careers, either one of them. Like this fake takeover bullshit that we have to deal with, it's nonsense, and I don't think they'll let it be the end. I don't think it can be the end.
Where do you think Bianca Belair fits in all of this? Because in this takeover, non-takeover situation, she's not in the ladder match. She wasn't announced in the gauntlet match. Where do you think she fits?
I think she still has her day yet to come. She's still ready for it. She's still hungry for it, and she's capable of it. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And then Bianca, I think, is sitting pretty to capitalize on the next phase. What, you know, when we can get back to live shows and we can get back to status quo, she is in a good spot to really be, you know, the top contender.
Mm.
No matter who has the belt.
Mm. What do you think of this Roman Reigns news?
I ain't fussed with the Roman Reigns news, I'll be honest with you. I don't give a fuck about a Roman Reigns match, so I don't really care that much.
Yeah, I think I agree with I think Sean Flaherty said it in the chat that I think they'll hold off. I think Goldberg will wrestle somebody. You're not going to have him not on the show. And I think you'll see him at SummerSlam, and I think him and Reigns will finish the feud there. And I think Goldberg will hold the belt longer than he probably meant to, and will probably wrestle some matches from here on out. And we'll see what's happening from there.
What have you guys said about, like, where are y'all at on watching the show? I don't know if you – I haven't been able to listen, so I don't know if you've, like, talked on this yet. But I'm still having trouble. Like, I can't watch any of the TV weekly because it still breaks my heart. And I don't know if I can watch one night of this, much less two nights of it.
I don't know, Nate. What do you think?
I mean, I'll watch it just out of habit and also so that I can have an informed opinion when we do the chain reaction, because I am nothing if not a consummate professional. I would never speak upon a subject I haven't watched. So I'll watch it.
So you're doing it for the pod. I see.
Yeah. I mean, doing it for the content. You know, I'm watching it for that primarily, but also just to see how they pull off this weird experiment that is born from the stubborn genes of one Vincent Kennedy McMahon, right? Like, he is the anti-Steve Rogers, right? When the whole world is like, Vince, don't do this, man. You ain't got to do this right now. Wait till the summertime. Or wait till the coronavirus is gone. He plants himself like a tree, and Vince says, no, you move. And it's like, come on, man. You took the wrong message from Captain America Civil War, son.
Which I just watched last night.
I don't think Vince watched Captain America Civil War.
He thinks Steve Rogers is a commie.
Even if he did, it's Team Iron Man all the way. So this is a Tony Stark move on Vince's part.
That's why everybody hates him. Steve, what are your thoughts on the way the show is going to be? Before we get to talk about some of the matches, what are your thoughts on how some of the on how the show could be watched? Do you think viewers will struggle to watch? It's one thing to watch TV with no viewers. What are your thoughts on a show this big with no audience?
Well, it's not going to be that big because there's no audience. Orange Cassidy's flames, fireworks going to be bigger than what they're going to have in there. It's not WrestleMania. It's an empty arena show. So they can call it WrestleMania, you know. How many times will Michael Cole say it's like the show of shows or whatever? But it's just going to be, I mean, again, like, as I was saying before, if they throw out good matches, like, I'll be happy. It's going to be weird not having a crowd response on your biggest show of the year. It's been weird enough watching some of these other shows with no fans. I don't know. I'll watch it too, but not live. I'll tell you that much. I'll watch it over the course of a week or two.
Well, as Nate was talking about content, we will let everyone know that the Chain Reaction Pod, courtesy of the Patreon, and of course, simulcast here at the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed and placetobenation.com. You are going to do it over two nights, brother, aren't you? We're going to have part one and part two, correct? Or are you doing it once?
I think we're doing one. Like, the idea. Idea of doing it over two nights just for the experience and the experiment. But for all parties involved, like whoever decides to join the chain gang that night, I think it'd be safe if we just all do it one night and get it all out of our system. And then Armin Tamzarian in Springfield, we never speak of it again.
Actually, I'm sorry, I was confused. You're doing it in one night, but our site reaction show with, of course, Chris Zellner and Devin Hales, they're doing two parts. So you will get part one from Chris and Devin Sunday morning, and then you'll get part two Monday morning, along with the Chain Reaction Pod from the Chain Gang on Monday morning the 6th. So you'll get plenty of reaction and differing opinions on this show. So, I mean, it's just something that we all got to try to wrap our heads around in some capacity. There you go.
You know, I was already fearing for my liver for the one night of WrestleMania, and I was just going to lay it all out and just all of my frustration and just pour it into my glass on that night. But now I have to do it over two nights, and I just don't know if I can survive. I don't know that that's
I guess it depends on the balancing, because we have had AEW reactions and we've seen all of our volumes. So if you could split the difference.
Yeah, but I don't have back to back nights of that in me. You know what I'm saying? There's shout out
to Sean in the chat who brings up the astute point. If you were in Tampa, you would be drinking four nights straight, Jennifer Smith.
That is true. Yeah, that's true.
Right, but not recording podcasts, though. You know?
We would have tried in some capacity.
You wouldn't know.
Yeah, that's true.
I could go pass out in my hotel room and not have to talk to Nate Milton about my feelings. So,
that's funny.
Just saying.
I'm here as a conduit for healing, Jennifer. That's what I do.
Gonna be a lot of that.
I ain't fucking with healing unless it involves drugs and alcohol. Steve Willie already knows this about.
I'm like an urban, unlicensed Steve Willie. That's what I do. I help people.
Oh, jeez. Jennifer Smith, everybody, the purveyor of the Jenny position. And she's on this feed with Jenny and the Gems, which we have one coming up shortly. And yeah, it's been a blast. And we hope to see you on the other side. Survive it.
All right. I will hang up and let somebody else blabber now.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, boys.
Bye.
This is like the wrestling Lou Rawls Parade of Stars.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, next time, next time, Nate, we need to do a better job of bouncing at the door.
This is a family show, by God.
Yeah, exactly. I love that woman to death, but for God's sakes, now we're gonna have to pay. Now this live stream's gonna have to be paid for. anyway, let's get back to the business at hand. I love you, Steve Willie, more than life itself. All right. Okay.
Oh, beautiful. So, Doug, the Queen of Obscene, has left the building. That is a wonderful moniker. The
Queen of Obscene.
She's like, beautiful.
It's Francine, you know what I'm saying? All right, yes. So here's the matches. Let's do this. Here's the matches. Here's the matches. This is what they have at the moment.
Mm.
We have Rhea Ripley defending the NXT Women's title against Charlotte Flair. Brock Lesnar defending the WWE Championship against Drew McIntyre. Goldberg defending against nobody. Becky Lynch defending the Raw Women's title against Shayna Baszler. John Cena and The Fiend in a singles match. Bayley will defend the SmackDown Women's title in a five-way against Lacey Evans, Naomi, Sasha, and Tamina. Fuck it. Who would have thought in 2020 Tamina would still get title matches at WrestleMania? The Undertaker.
I mean, I've been praying every night, and my prayers have been answered.
Yeah.
Now we just need the other half of the succulent Samoans.
That's right. Oh yeah, we need succulent. We need ST baby succulent thighs. We need to get her down the ramp.
ST Jones.
ST Jones. ST Jones. The Undertaker takes on AJ Styles in a Boneyard match. Apparently that's not on Wiki, but that's where it is. Kevin Owens takes on Seth Rollins. The Miz and Morrison will take on somebody that's slated for tomorrow night. We're live right now. So tomorrow night on SmackDown, the New Day will take on the Usos. The winner of that match will face Miz and Morrison at WrestleMania for the SmackDown tag belts. The Street Profits will take on Andrade and Angel Garza for the Raw tag titles.
Does that Aleister mean Black, have a reverse a title reign?
What's that?
Does that mean we can have a negative title reign? Like the old Freebirds in WCW?
That's right, ooh. Against the Steiners? Yeah,
if
huh?
If someone beats Miz and Morrison in the taping? Wow. This is the greatest taping of all time.
Before they're even number one contenders.
Yes. Yes.
It's like watching Superstars in 1986. Pretty awesome. Aleister Black against Bobby Lashley. Elias versus King Corbin. Oh, God. And Edge takes on Randy Orton in a last man standing match.
Mm.
Here was my thought.
Well, hold on, Scotty.
Go ahead, Brother Nate.
You know, I don't want to disparage you, my brother. We've been doing this show for a while, and I appreciate you, and you always have your information correct. But how are you going to put this card out there for the listeners and not mention the most important element of WrestleMania?
The guy that wears number that used to wear number 87.
Our WrestleMania host, Yo Soy Fiesta himself, Robert F. Gronkowski.
Oh God, I forgot about that. You know what makes no sense to me though? Why don't they hold him off and have him host SummerSlam in Boston?
Oh yeah, like
duh. What a waste.
Yep.
Why waste him on this when he could have hosted SummerSlam in his fucking backyard?
Well, I guess the only explanation is Gronk was probably going to be drunk in a drunken stupor for the 2 weeks before WrestleMania anyway, because he was going to be down there on spring break. So they figured we can just bring him in while he's already drunk and pliable. but now their plans have backfired in their face.
Tell me, though, that out of this, we're not going to get a Goldberg Mojo Rawley Universal title match on Sunday night.
You beat me to it, Scott.
Oh, God. Shoot me in the fucking head if that happens. This was what I was thinking. I originally thought, before this happened, that Rhea Charlotte was going to end Saturday night and Roman Goldberg was going to end Sunday night. That was my thought. I still think Rhea and Charlotte are going to end Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think Edge and Orton end Sunday night.
Ooh.
What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, I think Edge and Orton is going to have to be a main event, right? Like there's...
Yeah.
That and Drew. I don't know about Rhea and Charlotte. I don't think that's going to be bigger than Drew beating Brock in front of the millions and millions.
This is going to be the most depressing WrestleMania moment ever when they play that back in Drew's highlight package. Winning the title in an empty performance center. With the confetti coming down in an empty room.
So it's streamers. It's kind of like the like I always think of my favorite clip when they do the Ruthless Aggression opens is the clip the night after Unforgiven 04 when Triple H is standing on the podium on the turnbuckle holding the world title with the gold streamers. I mean, that's like arguably one of my like five favorite Raw moments ever. And you think about something cool like that. And nobody there. That's just like, that's just mind bending. I think that's where the struggle is going to be, is so much energy is going to go into these matches. And these superstars are going to work their asses off. I doubt we're going to see like a fucked off 1991 AWA show. I think we're going to see these guys work their ass and gals work their ass off. I don't think that's a doubt in anybody's mind. That they're going to work their asses off and make this show as good as they possibly can, regardless of what happened. And I'm still going to get excited about it. I'll still watch it. Does it have that same sizzle? No. I will be more than honored, Mr. Milton, to join you and Brent and the gang for both nights of the Chain Reaction. I am more than willing to. Because you know what? The show must go on. And we are professionals, my brother.
You keep trying to add an extra night, Scott Criscola.
Why would I keep doing that? You're doing one night. Chris Zellner's doing two, and I can't go on with Devin Hales because then they'll be like, oh, fucking NXT sucks because Triple H is in charge. Freaking Hales family. Give me a break. So Sunday night, Nate. Sunday night. I'll call you Saturday night, though. You'll be awake.
I'll be awake. I'll probably be in the same state as Jennifer Smith, and I'm not talking about Florida.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. So I apologize. Let me make sure this is clear. You are going to get two nights on PlaceToBeNation.com of the PTBN reaction pod of Chris Zellner and Devin Hales for both parts of WrestleMania. The Chain Reaction podcast will be just Sunday night.
Yes.
It will encompass both days. It'll be myself. It'll be Nate. It'll be our man. Brent joining us from the mountains?
He's got nothing else to do. He might
as well. Yeah, that's true. He really has nothing else to do. I hope the others from the crew will be able to join us. It'll be a lot of fun. That'll be next Sunday night, and then it'll post, of course, Monday morning on the Patreon feed, on the Kings of Sport Patreon feed, and, of course, placebination.com.
Yeah, that's going to be so weird, Scotty, because, like, WrestleMania, obviously, there's going to be good matches, but you don't really come to WrestleMania for, excellent matches up and down the card. You come for the pomp of circumstance. And this is going to be like you come for the entrances. You come for like those moments. And this is going to be like going to the circus when the circus used to be a thing, like going to Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey. And you're hyped to see Gunther Gable Williams with the Tigers. And you're like, oh, Gunther going to come out with the sparklers and the shiny green suit. And the Tigers going to be rolling on a unicycle for some reason. I didn't know Tigers could do that. But then instead of all that, it just – Gunther in his sweatpants, gray sweatpants, walking a tiger on a leash. He's like, I didn't pay for this, Ringling Brothers. I would like a refund.
I know. Gunther Gable. Gunther Gable.
Gunther Gable Williams was the Michael Jordan of Tiger. Actually, let me take that back. Michael Jordan was the Gunther Gable Williams of basketball because nobody trained those animals like Gunther Gable Williams. Was he a communist? We don't know. But Gunther Gable Williams brought it every single night.
He had delicious hair. And he had that like suave white outfit. He was my number two favorite thing to see at the circus next to the motorcycle guys in the globe. That was badass.
I went on it like, again, like this is a random tangent that has nothing to do with WrestleMania, but I went to see the tour where it was like the Gunther Gable Williams farewell tour, even though he probably still could have done it. But I think Ringling Brothers was pushing him out early. You know, they was on that Bill Belichick stuff. We're going to cut you 2 years before your prime. And Gunther Gable Williams had the finale, and the clowns were crying, and the fat lady, she was singing, and the elephants like bowed their heads to Gunther Gable Williams. And I was like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life.
I'm going to try something here. Let's see. Yes, it worked. There you go, brother. Gunther Gable Williams gets applause.
Yes. Is he still with us? Is Gunther Gable Williams still alive?
I seriously doubt it. Let me see. I can't believe I'm going off the WrestleMania page to find Gunther Gable.
Like, I think it's as soon as you.
Yeah, as soon as you type Gunther, like who's a more famous Gunther?
He is passed away. He died July 19th, 2001, at the age of 66.
Oh, young.
He's resting at Venice Memorial Gardens in Florida.
Gored by a Gia monster.
He was born in Schweidnitz, which is, you know what? Guess what, Brother Nate? He was not German. He was Polish.
Oh.
He was Polish.
They pulled a swerve on us.
Swerve. He was the animal trainer from 1968 to 1990. But, man, he was so slick with those fucking hair and everything. Gunther from Friends. This Douglas guy is bringing the goods, whoever he is. Scott just killed Gunther Gable. Yes, I did. Damn it, I wish I had his hair, PTBNC Comics.
R.I.P. to Gunther Gable Williams.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Yeah, that's me. Can we add audio effects to this? I think this is pretty awesome. You know what you get, Steve Willie?
Thank you.
That's for you, Steve.
Nice golf clap.
Yes, very nice. Okay, so let's talk quickly. Let's talk about Goldberg for a minute. All right, Roman's out. Let's go around the horn. Guys, those in the chat, give us your thoughts about this question. What will Goldberg be doing? What is he doing tonight and tomorrow night, or tonight, last night and tonight? And what are we going to see of Goldberg next weekend? Nate, I'll start with you.
I think we'll see Goldberg. Okay, I'll give you two answers. What will actually happen is it makes the most sense to put Goldberg in there with somebody he can just squash. I would say a Mojo, but I guess Mojo's a face now that he's with Gronk. But what I would like to see, just because it would further perturb our dear Jennifer Smith, is finally get down with that Goldberg Matt Riddle match and have Goldberg just run through the bro.
Oh, I'm
hanging. What do you think, Steve?
I'm gone. See ya. man, I don't know. So Goldberg is a face, so he has this guy. I mean, Ricochet is right there. He's the master of getting squashed, right?
Yes.
I can see Mojo. I can see Gronk, actually.
Ooh, I would love to see Goldberg spear Gronk. That would make this WrestleMania worth it.
Oh, my God. I just realized who the Douglas guy is.
Yeah, I'm going to the spear of Gronk.
Somebody, Sean, our good friend Sean Kidd, just popped up and said Braun.
That'd be interesting. That would be interesting. I just don't think they would go to that without any preamble, without any buildup. Whereas with like Mojo or even a Gronk, you could just do that day of.
Because the problem you have with the surprise is that there's no one to react to the surprise.
Yeah.
Oh, Ben, our good friend Ben Locke just said Sammy as Intercontinental Champion. Would he like kind of like Jericho Goldberg in 98?
Yeah.
I don't know, though. Is Intercontinental Champion... I don't know. I want to apologize to a third. This is, again, I'm old and wear glasses, Callum, so cut me some slack. The guy that I keep calling Douglas is actually our good friend Callum McDougal from the Special Relations Podcast. Of course, Dougal is the beginning. I'm seeing Douglas like a fucking idiot. So thank you, sir. And yeah, so there we go. So thank you, Callum Douglas. That's your new pod name. If you want to be on the show, you got to be Callum Douglas. That's your new name now. So I think it's an awesome name. So they'll probably just do something quick and painless, which makes me think that Goldberg is going to wrestle like Braun or something, and that makes me think that Edge Orton will end everything on Sunday night. I do think Edge Orton. So Steve, what do you think ends Saturday night then, if not Rhea and Charlotte?
I think you'll have Drew, Brock one night, and then Randy, Edge the other night.
I agree. I think that's probably how they'll do it.
What did you say? Sorry, Steve. What'd you say? What ends the first night?
Drew Brock will be the second night. Randy Edge will be the first night.
Yeah, I agree with those choices. I might flip it, though. I might have Drew Brock first night and then end with Orton and Edge, just because to me that's been the better told story.
Yeah, I think so, too. You know, Ben, you could pop on here, too, if you'd like. You're talking about taking away my tea and crumpets. Don't even go there.
We won't answer, but, I mean, you can try.
Maybe I'll answer.
Now that Steve Willey says it, though, like, I really want to see Goldberg spear Gronk so we can get – because, I think babyface Gronk is an unbearable character, but heel Gronk might be amazing.
I think heel Gronk and heel Mojo – might be painfully painful, but painfully painful delicious, I think, at the same time.
Yes.
You could definitely tell he dropped some size. I mean, he's definitely a lot trimmer than he was even when we saw him in Miami at WrestleMania, whatever the fuck that was, 33 or whatever.
Uh-oh, hold on. Wait a minute. Conspiracy Orlando, theory going on here. I see the black helicopter circling around. Gronk is in Tampa for WrestleMania, Scott. Hold on. Follow me down this yellow brick road. Uh-oh. Tom Brady just arrived in Tampa to play for the Bucks. What if we get Goldberg versus Brady, and then Gronk and Mojo help Brady become the Universal Champion? Oh my goodness! Tom Brady, Universal Champ.
That would be amazing. What'd you say, Steve?
And Gronk would turn against Brady for going to the Bucks.
Well, that'll be a SummerSlam when Gronk breaks up the Brady World Order in New England.
See, I'm still stuck on TNA. This should be our TNA review show. So I'm thinking you got to run through every angle in one shot.
Oh, let's see who this is. Let's see who's walking through the door right now. Who's walking through the door right now? I think I know who this is.
Why aren't you talking about more of the dispatches from Damascus? No, yes.
Tim Capel, I knew you'd come.
Tim Capel, everybody. What's up, Tim?
Nate, just consider me one of those five sliding into your DMs, sir. I don't know if that's a self-own or more of a slam on you. That sounded wrong.
Anyway, we're in uncharted territory now in 2020, Tim. Up is down, down is up.
Yeah, you're worth much more than a five, sir. I guess I'm wondering, how about the obvious? What about the man, the game, Triple H? Always stepping up to the plate when he's needed, right? And rarely without a WrestleMania match. So these are two problems that potentially cancel themselves out.
Oh, man. Well, I would be on cloud nine. Does Goldberg lay down for him? I'd love to see. Then Triple H would have been both WWE and Universal Champion in this new universe.
Oh, yes. My God. The my new universe. Universe. Now we're
my
in the new
Infinity
universe.
Gauntlet. Yes.
Triple H just said, I'll do fingers. It myself.
Yep. I'll snap my doing? Fingers. Daniel Bryan disappears.
Oh, man. Goldberg gives him the spear and the jackhammer. Triple H kicks out on zero.
That's
right. Kicks out on negative Goldberg two.
Hogan.
Gives him the pedigree and then holds him down for the three count. So he jacks.
And then so you should have gone for the head.
You should have gone for the head. Snaps his fingers and Daniel Bryan turns to dust.
I don't feel so good, Bree.
I feel so good, Bree. Oh, geez. Tim Cable, any other matches on this? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, it needs to. If we do a Goldberg-Triple H situation, it's got to be a 40-minute match. I mean, that's all I ask if they do it. Is that it's the proper epic that it deserves, right?
Crickets, yeah, I would think
very
so.
Very good. Excellent.
Tim, I have a question for you.
Yep.
What match would you rather see? Chris Jericho versus Matt Hardy or Chris Jericho versus Vanguard?
I gotta go Jericho Vanguard just because there's always the possibility that something like a Jericho-Matt Hardy situation almost resembles an actual wrestling match.
Exactly. Yeah.
No one wants that. Not in 2020. Right. Come on. What do we think? I'm already like Matt Hardy and AEW and a main event angle here again, the 2020 year of Beyonce. It's just... I have a hard time dealing with this in a situation where we don't have a global pandemic and no live events. So it almost works better where they're doing Shakespeare in the Park with this weird outside the box, you know, wrestling booking. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if they would do that same thing if they could run regular shows. I would hope not.
I would hope not either. I mean, they have such a limited roster there.
Yeah.
I think they would, though, because I think that as much as I thought, like, maybe they would edit it a bit. Like, I don't think it would be as bloated as it was on Dynamite this week. But I think, like, they'd probably do 5-7 minutes of that just because that's the value you get from bringing in Matt Hardy. It's not his wrestling, no disrespect to V1 here. But I think the value of Matt Hardy is – that cachet that comes with the Broken Universe and all that cool stuff he did in TNA that was squandered in the WWE, you can do it now in AEW. Yeah. So I think we'd still get some of this silliness and the audience would eat it up. But I think AEW might have even been hurt more than the WWE by not having a crowd because Matt Hardy, like that should have been a big deal in front of a live audience. And I can't believe I'm saying this. I can't believe, again, up is down is up. Cats and dogs are living together. The Dark Order has somehow become not terrible, and I didn't think that was humanly possible.
I know. They kind of turned it around, didn't they?
So, anyway, Tim Capel, everybody. Tim, you're the best. I'll be talking to you very soon, as a matter of fact. Tim and I are on the Journey to Infinity podcast over on the Jenny Position. We got a couple of great shows coming up down the pike. I actually watched Civil War. I'm a few movies ahead of where we are, but I just watched Civil War, which means Doctor Strange is next. And apparently, they're shooting the second one in a couple of months without a director. That's kind of odd.
Sam Raimi signed on, didn't he?
I know he was in talks. I don't know if it was made official. I think Raimi would do good
with that type of story.
It's weird that they would go from sort of a no-name, I don't want to say pushover type director, but somebody who was just a mercenary basically for the studio, and to go from that to Sam Raimi, who is going to be way more of a loose cannon, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
This,
I guess
this we'll just see. Means Tobey Maguire is coming to the MCU.
Oh God! I did like Spider-Man 3 though. Matter.
Oh, Topher Grace. Remember when that guy had a career?
Well, yeah, through 2007, right?
Tim, before we let you go, thank you as always. Thanks for popping in. You're awesome every day of the week. One match, particularly specifically, you're looking forward to.
Goldberg Triple H.
That's why I love this guy.
I'm just curious to see what they do with that. I'm not really especially looking forward to any of these matches or the show. Frankly, I think doing it in this form and fashion is worse than just not doing it at all. But it is what it is. So we will power through and try to stay awake past the first hour, I guess. But no, I'm curious to see what comes of this now that Roman is out. I'm wondering if anybody else drops out. Honestly, we've still got, 2 weeks to go? We've got some immunocompromised people on the roster.
I know. Well, here's the thing, Tim. We obviously are going to know soon because if they did this stuff last night and tonight, something's going to pop up soon, I would think, right? You know?
Well, that's the weird thing.
Are we easy to call out?
Yeah. I mean, so literally Roman just dropped out the day that they were going to film this. They could have just gotten that done today unless he told them a week ago, I'm not doing this. Now it's just now coming out that they're publicizing it. I don't know.
I'm going to tell you exactly what happened, Tim Capel. Please. Roman Reigns is a superstar, but he is just a man. Does he not bleed if you prick him? And so Roman probably woke up after a night of drinking and playing Animal Crossing with Jimmy and Jay online, and he was like, you know what?
Is that what they're doing?
That's exactly what they were doing. He's like, you know what? I don't even feel like going to work today. So he called Vince and he was like, hey Vince, it's not gonna work for me, Oos. You're gonna have to change plans And so that's because Roman is human, man. So I appreciate Roman Reigns for saying, you know what? I just don't feel like going to work today.
Well, I guess looking at the chat right now, it sounds like per Bad Hair, Bad Skin, that the card is changing a little bit as others are either sick or not crazy about touching other humans. So who knows what? I mean, something's going to – I have a feeling we're going to have a very interesting live SmackDown tomorrow night on Fox. If things are starting to get churned and burned, so maybe it's not even worth going through the card because God only knows, God only knows what the hell's happening here. I mean, guys, this is one of the most bizarre, ridiculous WrestleMania seasons I think we will ever have in our lifetime. I can't ever.
That's kind of why I'm excited to watch.
Yeah, I am too.
I love being a good train wreck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it only carries you so far is my issue. I liked the train wreck of the live performance center shows through about the second match. And then it just sort of turned into, well, this is sort of depressing community theater. It just feels gross and weird.
You mean you don't like Bailey's acting over the past month?
No, I also don't really like the playing to invisible fans. I'm not sure how these things are supposed to be received. In the universe of the WWE universe, such as it is, we're not really even acknowledging that we're playing to an empty arena, right? So I guess we're trying to pretend and play along and think that it's just any other show, but that's really hard to do. And it's one of those that immediately kills your suspension of disbelief. I mean, if you even have that when it comes to wrestling, I know, your mileage may vary, but it just takes me out of it way, way too much. And the perverse curiosity factor is there. Mm-hmm. It just only goes so far. So for a WrestleMania type experience, wow. I want to see what they come up with, but I don't know how long it will be able to sustain me.
Well, We're going to be watching something next week. I mean, we're going to be watching something next weekend. What that is, God only knows. Speaking of viruses or things that people run away from, one of our dearest alumni has joined the chat. Hopefully he will hop in the hopper so we can talk to him. Because we're getting close to the witching hour, guys, where I'm feeling comfortable about ending, because if we go too much longer and this thing hangs up, I don't want to lose this. So I really don't want to.
Last call.
Yeah, exactly. We're turning the lights on and off.
To make that less
like. Oh, no, Tim, you're awesome. You're awesome. But Tim Capel, everybody. Tim, let me see if I hear your Twitter handle all the time. Let me make sure I get it right. At Psych68.
That's correct, yes.
Ah, I love you, Tim. And Tim, of course, is with me on the Journey to Infinity. Check him out on Talking WCW. He's on a ton of other pods. He's pretty awesome. He's pretty awesome. Tim, thank you. You're the best.
Thanks, guys. Fun show.
Love you, Tim.
Thank you.
All right, brother. You, Tim.
Awesome. So the question is, what do we even do at this point? I mean, I don't even know what to think right now. I mean, we're like in. I mean, this is just for analysts like us. This is just uncharted waters. You know what I'm saying?
My hope is that they can point a little fun at themselves and not take it so seriously, like Tim was saying. That was at least one of the things I liked about AEW's shows, is that they, you know, fully acknowledged it, and then, like Tim said, Shakespeare in the Park. I love that analogy. Like the Jericho and Vanguard promo was
hilarious. I have to admit, even I thought that was funny.
Yeah, it was absurdist, and it was just acknowledging the fact of what a messed up situation we're in. So let's purposely go, you know, like Jericho cutting. I mean, it wasn't a great promo. It was a typical Jericho promo, and it was just basic. Like, I think you're a piece of shit.
speaking of somebody that gives you the hives, in comes one of our fine alumnuses, everyone, Mr. Jordan Duncan. Hello, JD.
Ooh. Hello. How are you guys?
Are you replacing Gold? Are you replacing Roman Reigns?
Yes, I made sure he was immunocompromised, right where I wanted him to be.
He made you sneeze.
This is very cool, man. I had a few free minutes, got on the live, and saw you guys are still chatting up, so I call in.
Thank you. Thank you for being. I mean, you of all people, JD, along with Steve Willey, and I want to say hi to our other alumnus, because without those two guys, alumni, Andrew Reich and Ben Morse, Main Event would never have gotten off the ground, along with, of course, you, Steve, and you. Jordan, and then of course Nate, hopping on
too, Scott.
Grabbing the me? Yeah, I'm just here.
Yeah.
I just talk and edit. That's all I do. And of course you, Nate, taking the reins and hopping on with me. God, six Jesus. What was your first episode with me? 91? 86?
Yeah, I was gonna say it was right before 100, I believe. Like maybe 10 episodes or so before 100.
Yeah, maybe like 89. Because I remember 100. You guys, Jordan, you we did the we had the four horsemen back on, the core four.
Yeah,
and
yep.
Nate, you were with us, so that was you were probably, it was like 89, 90, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
The core.
You know, I came on. Yeah. It was like when they switched out the original dark skin Aunt Viv for light skin Aunt Viv. Some people liked it, some people hated it. You know, it's like I'm here. I'm Don Cheadle. I'm not Terrence Howard. Deal with it, people.
I don't know, Nate. You seem like more of an Anthony Mackie to me. I don't know.
Ooh, I will take that. I am Captain America. I will take that.
I like it. Thank you.
There you go.
I'm looking forward to when that show hits Disney Plus.
I do everything Steve Willey does, only slower.
JD, you were on with us a couple weeks ago, when we were still kind of in limbo about all of this shit. What are you wrapping your head around right now? Like, what the fuck, you know?
I mean, it kind of surprises me that they're still having shows, like, mm-hmm. at this point. I just don't know. I got into it, like, you know, the weird thing about Twitter is you'll just get into arguments with people you don't even know who they are. Like, because a friend retweeted something and I replied to him, and this person just kind of went off on me. I'm like, you know, they could just not have shows. And she's like, well, they're not like the NBA. They don't have an off season. I'm like, well, yeah, but they have a TV contract. They're not going to get canceled because they decide we're not going to do live shows during a pandemic, you know, because I think the general, general who watches these shows is kind of like, it's just not right. It just doesn't, something's off. Like there's the curiosity factor at first, but then it's kind of like, okay, this is weird. This is just weird. Even AEW as well. I think both of them are just kind of like, it doesn't seem right. Like AEW, the fact that they went ahead with big angles by debuting Brody Lee to no one is so bizarre to me. Like, I don't know. It's odd. Strange times. I decided to go on Facebook Live and host a trivia party, and Todd Weber swooped in and got correct answers. That's where we're at in 2020.
You know who that is, Nate Milton. That's Todd Weber from Tough Enough.
He doesn't work here.
He doesn't work here. It's a mall. He can walk around as he pleases. It's only George Duncan's house.
Exactly. So, but you know, it's funny because I see more adaptation in like regular everyday people than I see in like professional wrestling companies. Like even like this, we're doing like a live show. You know, I'm sitting on my phone. Normally I'm sitting in front of the laptop when I'm on a show, headset on, mic, my Blue Yeti mic and stuff. I just got my kids' AirPods in. I'm talking on the phone to you guys because we're adapting to something we've never been before. And we're just a bunch of dudes. You know what I mean? Like, we're not a billion-dollar corporation unless Nate's holding out on us and they're hiding some bank or something.
I mean, you don't know all the numbers. You don't know all the numbers for my Patreon, sir.
That's right.
They're all mine.
Rocky Maivia picture show is really raking in them subs.
It's all my money.
But it's so funny to see how people have, like, adapted and, like, changed, like, the way we're doing things. And it just seems like they're unwilling to – like, they even – like, somebody said – they still do the poses on the show and stuff. Like they can't even like turn that off. Like who are you posing to or for? It's odd.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything different. I'm just sitting on my phone at 10 o'clock Central and admiring Marky Post.
That's not any different.
Who doesn't all admire Marky Post?
Exactly.
One or another. Post.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's
all rise great. Indeed.
Yeah. Richard Mull. Oh man, this has been so much fun. This has been a blast. And after the only one little weird hiccup, which no one will ever hear, which is great, except those who are alive, it'll never be in posterity. This has been a lot of fun. We're not going to obviously do. Let's do this instead of picking the matches because we can't possibly do that. Steve, give me like three things that'll happen next weekend. Oh man, I like her, Nidra. She's like everybody's maid. She was the maid on, wasn't she the maid on Different Strokes after after Mrs. Garrett left?
Yes, she was
on the show.
Second time I've talked about Edie McClure this week. Check out Laughing Theater.
Is that Audrey Landers? God, she's fucking hot. Yeah. Jesus. Oh. What are you watching, Steve? Low Rent Hollywood Square? Since when is Spring Travelina a center square?
Seriously. This is Hollywood rhombuses.
Rhombuses.
This is
Arsenio? What the hell's wrong
with that? Yeah, it's Arsenio. It's Compton Squares.
Jim J. Bullock? No. Who the hell is that?
I'm telling you, like, if you guys have any love of game shows whatsoever, if you can get this buzzer channel on whatever extended channels on, I could watch it all day.
Oh, Audrey Landers. Hubba hubba, let me tell you. All right, so let me go around the horn. JD, I'll count you two. Okay. I'll start with you, Nate. Give me three things. It doesn't have to be titles or anything. Just give me three things, events, or moments that will happen next weekend.
All right, Scotty, outside of my brilliant prediction that Tom Brady will be the third man, I think that the three things that we'll take from this WrestleMania, the three things that we'll probably end up talking about on the chain reaction afterwards are, A, we'll probably see a better quality of matches from top to bottom than we have in WrestleManias previously because, like we said, man, like half of the show, maybe even more, maybe like 60-70% of WrestleMania is the spectacle, is the theatrics. And so without that sizzle, without, you know, the side dishes, the steak's got to be really damn good. So I think everybody's going to have their working boots on. So the wrestling will probably be really, really good. I think that we're going to end up talking about how these moments that were supposed to be big moments, like a Drew McIntyre probably winning the belt, or Rhea Ripley defeating Charlotte, which should take it to that next level, ultimately fall flat because there is no crowd to react from. And then the third thing I think that we'll be talking about coming out of WrestleMania is what we were all talking about going into WrestleMania, is that while this was, you know, they made the best of a bad situation, it's a situation that didn't need to be because they should have just postponed it.
Mm. Yeah. What do you think, Steve? What are your thoughts? Three things that you think will come out of next weekend.
Gronk getting speared. I'm sticking with that.
Mm.
A small thing. I want to see Drew Gulak and Daniel Bryan in that tag match against Miz and Morrison. I think their stuff got over pretty well without the crowd. Third thing, I think there's going to be a lot of snickering by whomever covers this in the mainstream, whether it be like CBS Sports Online, even an ESPN.
It's an excellent point.
I think there's going to be some fun made at the WWE's expense. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. That is a phenomenal point, Steve. I forget who it was. It was somebody that came through the drive-thru at work the other day, and they were just like, man, things is crazy. Sports aren't even on, man. I turned to watch wrestling the other night, and I don't even like wrestling, but it was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Like, there was nobody, and they were acting to nobody. So I think, like, for fans that are, for people that aren't generally watchers of wrestling, this will confirm every bias that they had going into the show.
And people are flipping the channels looking for something to watch.
Yep.
You know, I the amount of people that I've talked to in the past week and a half who have been watching old sporting events.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, my client, the CBS Sports Network, we've been airing old tournament games. I mean, last night we aired one of my favorite tournament moments of all time, the iconic Ali Farouk Manesh and the Panthers of Northern Iowa. When he dribbled up the sideline, stopped at the elbow, tied a shoe, turned, winked at Bill Self, and then drained a three and stabbed Kansas in the heart in the second round in 2010. You know, the Leitner shot we're doing. Like, so people are finding stuff. NBC Sports Network's doing old NHL Stanley Cup Finals games, including your asshole Blackhawk, Steve. And I never say asshole and Steve in the same sentence. And then there's some other great stuff. You know, Steve, I love you and all of your teams, but you did really kick me square in the balls at that moment. But
yes,
he's like, yeah, there's my couch. shed me a tear. Of course, I'm talking about game six in 2013 when the Blackhawks scored two goals in 17 seconds. I mean, and you know, the Kentucky Derby is not till September. We don't know when the fucking Masters is going to be. I mean, it's a fucking mess. It's crazy. Opening day was supposed to be today. Who are the Cubs supposed to play today, Steve?
Oh God. I'm trying to deny the fact that any of this is happening. I know that my kid was just grabbed his iPad cause we have the, network, the, not the network, the MLB package. And he was watching baseball. I'm like, what are you watching? And he's just watching random spring training games.
Oh,
Contreras is doing pretty good. Oh, okay.
Who are the Tigers supposed to play today? Jordan? Nobody fucking cares.
Like, I mean, I was watching the 06 Johnsonville Brat Eating Championships the other day, man. So,
no way.
I watched the Cherry Spitting Festival.
Yeah, Nate, we were too. We were watching it as a family.
I was cheering for. Oh, look! I try to be a good American, but I was secretly cheering for Kobayashi the whole time.
I am Team Kobayashi all the way. And Joey Chestnut was like rail thin at that point.
Yes. Yeah.
Blue Jays.
This is what we've been reduced to now. This is what we've been reduced to.
I know. Blue Jays were meant to play the Red Sox, and the Astros were meant to beat their drums.
Like, in all seriousness, like, that stuff is getting me more interested. Like, I was more interested in watching that and the hamburger contest that was on before it. Disgusting, by the way. Absolutely vile. Talking about Mania. Not talking about it, but watching about it.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of matches that would be boring on Raw and now supposedly on WrestleMania in front of nobody.
That is so funny. Well, guys, this has been a blast. So much fun. We're going to do this again. We're definitely going to do it again here on Main Event. Maybe we'll do it again, guys. What do you think? We'll do a Q&A maybe like July. We'll see. Maybe we'll do another live episode in July, see how the landscape is at that moment. It gives us a couple months to get through spring and see what the fuck happens and if Matt shows happen again and who knows what. So, So thank you for listening, everybody that joined here on our little chat. Thank you so much. Thanks to our guests, Chad Campbell, Jennifer Smith, and you, Jordan Duncan, Tim Capel. Thank you, Nate and Steve. I think this was a success. Marky Post.
Yes.
Edie McClure.
Arsenio Hall.
And Fred Travelina.
Jim J. Bullock.
Ever again.
Jim J. Bullock. I'm the Jim J. Bullock of the Place to Be Network.
Yes. You sleep in. Yes, because I'm what's his name? What was Ted Knight's name on that show? Monroe. Yeah, you sleep in my attic.
We'll be back. We just need to tape various impersonations of celebrities for this is Jim J. Bullock for Place to Be Nation. Yes. You're listening to the
Main Event. How long with this pandemic, the more we're stuck inside before all of these podcasts devolve into just radio plays of everybody just doing voices?
Yeah.
Because we've all lost our minds collectively.
We're going to do the Charles Nelson Reilly retrospective. It's going to be great.
And yes, thank you, Callum. We have to thank Gunther Shorty G. Williams.
Yes. For joining us. Ben Crosby here talking about WrestleMania.
Oh, man. Well, we'll be back in 2 weeks with a regular pre-recorded show. And
yes.
We'll try to recap whatever the fuck happens. Brother Nate, of course, Kings of Sport Patreon, hop on. All that stuff's great.
Yes.
Say hi to
the new show out with Steve Willie, TDT Talks, premiere featuring Steve and Jennifer Smith. So if you want to hear more of the Queen of Obscene, you can check that out.
Oh boy, that's one that I would pay more than what I pay monthly for. is that one? And plus all the other great stuff. Say hi, of course, to Papa Marcus, sir, and of course,
I will
Mrs. Marcus and Baby Simba. And Steve Willie, you're awesome as always. You have a new show in your mind, Steve. I feel it. I feel a new show in your mind.
Jordan and I have been talking about getting Tell Me Something Good up. I did just do Laughing Theater, which is up in Pop Feed.
Yep.
We watched Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
That's fantastic.
All time. Shout out to Ian Durham, first base for the Cubs. And Kelly Nelson and I don't even know if I've told you this yet, Scott, are going to be starting a show we're taping a week from now. And we are calling it the International House of Combat. And it is awesome.
With boysenberry syrup?
If you're into old PWO type stuff, if you're on the forums, we're going to be watching really old international bouts. And I think we decided we're going to do a live watch.
Like
old French bouts.
I am so excited for that. That is going to be such a wonderful addition to the feed.
Yeah.
Oh, I am so excited for that, Steve Willie. That'll be another great addition to the Place to Be Wrestling feed.
You're going to talk about that Inoki Island match we watched, Steve?
Yes.
Live. Yes, but in French.
You're going to be on with us.
With Chong Li from Bloodsport sitting in the helicopter.
It's the Kumite.
The Kumite.
Braun Strowman is the trusty sidekick.
Yes.
Oh man! Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at PTB Podfather, and check me out on all the feeds. The Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, of course, is my feed, and I have all these wonderful gentlemen on it. Body Pressure Luck, Brother Jordan, another episode coming up in the next few weeks. I'm excited about that. Great show. Yourself and my PIC, Mr. Azzaro, and Andy hiding under the table because he's good at that. And three great contestants. So, hey now.
Boy, is he.
Yay. So, of course, I'm also on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. Myself, Andy, the Doctor, and Mr. D'Amato with The Year in Pop will be coming up with 1981 as our next one. The birth of MTV, the hostages come home, the Raiders win the Super Bowl as a wild card team, the Tigers still suck. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful year in 1981.
Not for long, though.
Maybe we'll have you on the 1984 episode, Jordan, for 3 minutes in the sports section. And then you never have to come on again. Yes, because maybe you could talk about Billy Sims for a little bit.
Another shout out to Leanne Durham. Bill Buckner before Bill Buckner happened.
That's right. Oh, man, that's rough. Anyway, all the great shows from all over. Place to Be Wrestling, Place to Be Pop Feed. Of course, our brother and sister feeds, the North-South Podcast Connection, and of course, the Jenny Position. For Brother Nate, for Brother Steve, and you, Jordan, I am Brother Scott. This has been the live main event. Enjoy WrestleMania however you choose. We'll break it down for you in 2 weeks. Really, Nate? Nothing? Wow. Even live?
Yeah. Social distancing my jokes.